House this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastors need a break. They like to get back to be with the folks. Amen. We've enjoyed sharing with you last week and looking forward to what the Lord may want to say today. Brother was talking about Jeremiah a little bit ago. That's kind of confirming. I want you to turn to the book of Jeremiah. I thought, well, that may be of the Lord. We'll find out after the fact, won't we? Amen. We need God's grace, need His help, need His power, need unction. I like what John said. He said, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, we don't feel like we know all things, do we? But John said we do. Why? Because we have an unction from the Holy One. And so that's confirming. That's edifying. And no doubt, we need edification. We need to build up our brothers and sisters. And so it's easy. By nature, we don't have to practice tearing down. We have to practice and work and pray at edification. Amen. And so that's what God wants. And your grandma probably said it best by saying, if you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. Yeah. And grandma was right, wasn't she? Yeah. And so we're to edify and build up those that we love and care about, and even those that we haven't, just brief acquaintances. It doesn't cost anything to say something good. And so we need to build up our brother and sister. You never know when just a little kindness sparks something in somebody's heart and God uses it. Amen?
Amen.
And so He takes that little spark and He turns it into a firecracker in their life. And God wakes us up and speaks to us and uses things that we think are so trifle and unimportant. But God can take them and make something good out of them. And that's the job He's in. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord's at work. Amen. He never sleeps. And so we know that God's on our side. He loves His church. And He loves His people. And Sis was talking about praying a while ago. You know, we have to grab a hold of this thing of praying with unction. And so we have to lay hold of God's word. And people wonder sometimes, how do you do that? Well, just read God's word back to Him. Remind Him of His promises. Isn't that what our little kids do? When we had little kids, and it'd be like, Daddy, you said, or Mama, you said. They remind you. They come back and remind you and put that pressure, that parental pressure on the child does that, puts that parental pressure on the parent. And that's what we do when we come to the Lord in prayer. And so in respect and edification, we come to God and we say, God, you said it right here in your word. I read it in your word and I'm claiming it by faith. Amen.
Amen.
And you say, God doesn't respond to that. Yes, He does. He's an on-time God, but he's also a God that respects those things that he promises. And so this is why we can say with such assurance, you know, whoever wrote Blessed Assurance, they had it right. It's a blessed assurance because God gave it to us. He said it. We read it in his word. And so the black, white, red, white word of God is what moves the Lord. And we can remind him of his word. Amen. And you're never one time going to offend the Lord. You never will. You can't offend him of reminding him of what he said. Amen. And so the promises of God in him are what? They're yea. Remember that, what Paul said in Corinthians? The promises of God in him are yea. That's an affirmative. Amen. That's a big 10-4 in CB talk. And so this is what God is saying. And so we're going to see some things. Jeremiah, you got your Bible, look with us into chapter number 37. I'm going to skip around a little bit for the sake of time. We don't have to read so much, but we'll fill in some of those gaps right there. But Jeremiah was one of the most famous prophets that God ever inspired. And so he was in the right place at the right time. God had his hand on him, and God is using him because there's some things that's about to come up. And we find it here that Judah... Let's clarify something real quick, two things. There is two tribes that make up Judah, right? There's 10 tribes that make up Israel. And so those 10 tribes of Israel are already scattered. They've already been scattered for a long, long time in the setting of what we're reading today. And so Judah, when we talk about Judah, that pertains to two tribes that make up Judah. And so that's why you see where he reads Judah and Jerusalem. So here, for the sake of not laboring that point too long, I want you to see this. Jeremiah is in a hot seat because of his stand and position that God gave him. He's the prophet. He's the voice of God to the people. That's what he is. And so here he is, and he's come to the king. And he's told the king of the things that are about to happen because he knows that Nebuchadnezzar is about ready to take over the known world. And so as Nebuchadnezzar is placing himself, and as we also know in the big picture of things, he does conquer Israel, he conquers Judah, and he conquers Jerusalem. And remember, it's Nebuchadnezzar that came in and burnt Jerusalem with fire. And so the very things that God said through the mouth of Jeremiah he would do is what he did do. But in the middle of this is what I want you to see. Because here, the king is in a tight spot. Zedekiah the king doesn't know exactly who to believe. He's in authority. He's got all the power that he needs to make any decision, but he don't know what to do. And God has gave Jeremiah a word. And so he gave him a word. And the problem with that is that some come by and they denounced it. And look into chapter 36, verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Joash, the king of Judah, that his word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write it therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations. From this day I spake, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. And so here is the proclamation that's coming down. And the problem is some don't want to hear what God's word has to say. So without reading too much, what I want you to see here, look over into chapter 36 and verse number 24. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king of any of his servants that heard all of these words. And so here you look down into verse 27, then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then after the word came to Jeremiah, the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write it unto all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. So the word came by the mouth of the prophet, and so they took the roll, it's a literal roll, and they burned it, put a match to it, watched it go up in smoke, and so God comes back to Jeremiah, and what did he say, do? Write it again, and so he done. They burned the roll, and he took, verse 32, then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it unto Baruch the scribe, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah, and under the words of Judah, had he burned in the fire, and they were added besides unto them many like words. So he destroyed the roll. God said, take another roll. Why come? Because the word's not changed. And so the mission's not changed. And what God's declared is so. And all of these things that are going on, he's took another one. He's replaced it. Why? Because God's word does not change, church. And so they can light a fire if they want to, but it's not going to change anything. So look over a little bit further. I want you to see something, and we'll throw out an anchor with the reading here. But look into verses number, go down to verse 8, and all the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. And thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves. Watch now, this is God's word by the mouth of Jeremiah. He's proclaiming what's about to happen. So deceive not yourselves that the Chaldeans shall surely spare you. So they're not going to depart from us. They're here to destroy us. And there's one or two things we can do. We can go with them, or we can die. And that's the only thing that's an option. And why? Because God raised up Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was an evil king, we know. He burned Jerusalem, and he set it on fire. But here God has given Jeremiah the insight and the knowledge. Even in jail, he's the prisoner that's obedient. You said, preacher, I don't know if I could be obedient in the times of adversity. Well, you can. Bless God, it's just pushing through and pressing through. And so when they came to the king, and Zedekiah says, hey, where's the man of God, Jeremiah? I want to see him. And so they brought him unto the king. And look at what he said in verse 18. I want to read 17 and 18. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. Remember, he's been in prison. And so I'm telling you, it's not one of these little nice prisons like we see today. And so we know that Zedekiah has been put in the pit. Jeremiah has been placed in the pit, and he's bogged up in this pit. And so the only way they're going to get him out is they're going to get him out with ropes. And why? Because he's down in a hole. I want to tell you, sometimes, church, you're going to feel like that. Like you're down in a place you never could imagine. And so it's adversity comes our way, but it's how we handle it. It's what we do with it. And so here Jeremiah is, he's there for one reason. It ain't because he robbed a sea store. It's not because he beat up his wife. No, it's there because he's there because he has obeyed God and shared his word. And because Zedekiah didn't want to hear it, doesn't mean God didn't want to say it. Amen. And so we find this obedience is better than sacrifice. And so here the king has got to have another word. He wants to hear it again. And so he didn't really like what Jeremiah said before when he said, look, when they come, bless God, the only thing you can do is go with them. You're not going to whip them because God raised him up. Now, we don't like to think that sometimes because Nebuchadnezzar was an evil king. He was not a God lover. He was a God hater. And that's why he destroyed Jerusalem. That's why not one stone was left upon another. And Jesus taught like that too, didn't he? Matthew 24. There's going to be another day, a replica day of that in Jerusalem. Listen, Jerusalem one more time is going to be woke up by God. Jerusalem is going to find, I know that's God's chosen people, but I tell you, when God gets done his church, those Jews are going to be proud to be a part of his church. And so right now they like flying separately, and so not to be linked to Christianity. But there's going to be a day when they'll be proud to be called after the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so this is where they are, and he's calling up Jeremiah because Jeremiah at this moment in time is the only one that's touching God. He's the only one. And he brings him out of the prison. And the king said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, yeah, there is. When they get here, go with them. He said, oh, we're more spiritual than that. You know, we're God's chosen people, which is true. But they had disobeyed God and spit in the face of God, and they had killed his prophets, and they had jailed up those like Jeremiah, the only one that could help them at the time. That's why he brought him out of the pit. They had to take ropes and pull him out of that mire. Some think Jeremiah was a fat man. And Jeremiah, I personally don't believe that because I think he probably lost too many meals for that. But maybe he had some size on him. But he was accustomed to fasting. He was accustomed probably to starvation and other things because he was in the heat of the battle. Everything was pivoting around Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the only one who could touch God. The king didn't know what to do. All he knew, there's some folks down there in Egypt that says they're going to help us, but God said don't trust them because the first thing they're going to do is turn around and go back to Egypt. It's what they done. And this is why Jeremiah is the pivotal man of the hour. You don't know when God's going to raise you up for a situation. It doesn't have to be something in the community or in society, but it could be in your home. It could be in your family. And God raises you up to be a source of strength and edification. And that's why the king called Jeremiah up and said, bring him out of the mire and bring him out again. And so he brought him and he said, King, why do you keep putting me in this hole, in the mire, bogged down? You ever feel bogged down in your spiritual walk? Jeremiah was bogged down, and the only ones that could help him is above him. And I ain't talking about just those folks of the king's people, but there was one above him that could help him. Amen. Amen. And he wasn't looking to those that was pulling the ropes. He was looking to those, looking to him that's in control of all things. When adversity comes your way, church, you got to look past the initial and you got to look to see what God's doing in the eternal.
Amen.
And Jeremiah knew he had obeyed God, and the only reason he's in that prison and in that mire-filled hole that they put him down in the pit. We read about another man was put in the pit by the name of Joseph. It's a type right there. I like that. Joseph was a type of what one day Jeremiah would realize hundreds of years later. And we see it here. They put Joseph in the pit. They put Jeremiah in the pit. And so on his way out, he's told the king the truth. He ain't changed his message.
He said, listen, don't trust in Egypt. Before those Egyptians ever get here, they're going to turn around and run back. That's what they done.
He said, don't trust them, King. We can all say amen to this one thing. You don't always know who you trust, do you? And so the king thought, well, maybe the Egyptians could do it, but they can't do it. And so here he brings him up, and he wants to bring him up. And you have to imagine, I mean, we know what this is like. If you're out there coon hunting or deer hunting or something, you get in a bog hole, you got to cross a branch, and, you know, maybe you've got water down in your boots, and you got this suction, and you feel like you can't even get your foot back up without losing your boot. And so that suction, that's what Jeremiah had. And I want to tell you, God uses things that's not normal. You said, preacher, there's things that cannot be changed in my life. This situation is going to be this way from now on. You don't know that. Have you asked the Lord? Jesus said, ask and it shall be given unto you, Matthew 7:7. And he said, seek and ye shall find, and knock and it shall be open. That's what Jeremiah's doing. He's saying, King, don't put me back down there in that pit. I don't want to be in the pit. But bless God, if it come to him denying Christ, he'd stay in the pit, wouldn't he? And so here, he fell on the king's mercy, and the king said that they were going to get him out of the pit. And so here, they've got these, watch this now, I like this, because it took about 30 men to get him out. And so Jeremiah, the word said that there were some rotten rags laying around. And they said, take these, they're talking down to him now, he's in the hole, right? And so they're telling him, Jeremiah, take these rotten rags and put them onto your armholes. We call them the armpits. The word said the armhole, same thing. And so here Jeremiah's got these rotten rags. Now listen, folks, without these rotten rags, they probably would have tore him in pieces. But he had that cushion in effect because of those old rotten rags. And you know, it says something to us when we think we're not useful and we think God doesn't need us and we think we can't help others and we can help the cause of Christ. We see it right here that the only thing they had, bless God, you know what they used? They used the only thing they had. And so that's what we have to do, church. We have to use what God's gave us. And so those rotten rags were laying there. And they said, look, we're going to get you out of there, but we don't want to tear you in half. We don't want to do damage to you bodily. And so take these rotten rags. And now I want to tell you, sometimes we feel like that. I think about the place where the word said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Isn't that so? You know what that means? Our human effort is not where the job gets done. It gets done by prayer. And it gets done by supplication. And it gets done by obedience. And so here God's using those that's willing to be used. You said, well, they ought to call the fire department. They'd have come got him. Well, if they would have had one, they would have. But they didn't have a fire department. They had some men that was going to bring him up without tearing him apart. And so he's stuck in the mire. Sometimes we feel that way, that life's not treating us fair, and we're stuck. We're stuck spiritually. We're stuck in every way. And so here, those rotten rags, you say, well, that wouldn't mean much to me. I tell you, if you was Jeremiah, it would have meant a lot, because there was a cushioning effect. I want to tell you, church, God brings an effect to our life that we can't muster up on our own. And so it says something here. And Jeremiah, the word said he remained in the court of the prison. And why? Because he's been delivered. And so here, God's worked a miracle in his life. And so the only thing he's been charged with is telling the truth. That's the only thing he's done. He told the truth and said, King, if you don't listen to my words, you're not going to live through this. And it didn't matter how many times he would have been mistreated or mocked or whipped or any of those things. It wasn't going to change Jeremiah's mind. And so we see it wrapping up here. I want you to see this. So the king sent, verse number 17. The king sent, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in the house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" There was a lot of people in the king's immediate group. He wasn't asking them. He called Jeremiah aside. I think secretly he had such an admiration. Could have been a friendship. I get intrigued by these things a little bit. You know, sometimes you feel that bond. Maybe you don't have anything in common with them, but there's a bond. And I think the king was so tired of watching Jeremiah be tormented in prison, used. I think there was a special bond. There's something about it, and maybe just me, but I feel like he could secretly call him aside and say, "Give me the skinny and tell me the scoop." And Jeremiah said, he wanted to know, is there any word from God? He said, "There is." He said, "When those Babylonians come, better go with them, king. Because if you don't go with them, you ain't going to make it." Don't you want somebody sometimes just to tell you the straight of it?
Amen.
Like, cut through all the fluff and just tell the straight of it. And you can sense, maybe it's just me, but you just feel like there's a special bond there. And this is what led up to the use of those rotten rags. And so here's Jeremiah, the prophet of God, is being treated as ill as anybody could be treated. And then we find it here that God takes the basest thing, in wrapping up right here, church, I want you to get this. God takes the basest things, the most simple things, and he uses them. And he works, and he confounds us by his miracles and how he does them and how he ministers to us. You see this all through the Gospels. We was talking about this a little bit last week about the parable of the sower went forth to sow. And how many brought forth good fruit out of those four? One. And you say, "Well, I don't know how special I am and how God would use me." I tell you, you're unique. There's nobody else like you. There's nobody else can do what you can do. God wants to put his hand on you. And Jeremiah has preached and preached and preached. And now he's went through this prison thing. And bless God, he's come out on the other side. And he's alive. And I believe he found favor. And I believe that there was mercy that came to Jeremiah because of it. Why? Because he stayed true to the God that called him. Amen.
Amen.
And as we stand together, I want to ask you this morning. I don't want to wear you out. But I want to ask you this one thing. What has God put his hand on in your life that you know without a shadow of a doubt to not obey God is a grievous sin concerning this matter? God speaks to people. He deals with people just like he dealt with Zedekiah, just like he dealt with Jeremiah, just like God arranges things and says things and positions things where his will comes to pass. I wonder this morning, is there anybody, head bows, eye closed, please. Is there anyone this morning that would say, "God has put his hand on me concerning this"? Whatever that this is, God's put his hand and he's been speaking to me. Zedekiah knew God was talking to Jeremiah. They said they cut up the message And they destroyed it and they burned it with fire. And the word said, Jeremiah wrote it again. God gave it to him again. And I tell you, church, there's some this morning that need to quit trusting the Egyptians. God said they're going to turn around and go back and go the other way. They're going to forsake you. They're going to set you up for a fall. I believe there's people that's got folks in their life that's going to set them up. And maybe they don't even realize it yet, that harm's coming because of being outside of where God wants you. It's real this morning. I'm glad that God speaks. I'm glad that He says amen to His word. And if there's one thing we can say in closing, if there's something that God wants from you, be sensitive and attentive to do it. Amen. You know, because Jeremiah said, King, don't put me back in that prison. And he begged him, and that's all well and good. And he didn't have to go. But if it took that, he would have been willing. Amen. Father, I pray today, make us willing and obedient and sensitive to your word. God, speak to us. God, teach us how to use the things that we have. God, there's rotten rags in various places in our life's walk. And God, those things that can be beneficial to us, teach us. Show us and reach out to us, God, and say it and use us for your glory. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. Jesus' name, and all God's church said, amen. 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 Come, brother.